This week in Radical History is dedicated to all my sisters and brothers who were with me illegally detained and abused while in custody, and to all the radicals on the streets during this past week's RNC in St. Paul, Minnesota.
It's been just a few minutes since we were able to get away from the tear gas, which was a task in and of itself. I can say getting tear gassed is not fun, but even worse than that is being trapped. I don't know what was happening at the front of the line where the tear gas first went off, but it may be melodramatic, but that didn't feel it. Being an American.
Take what's there, 'cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution.
This week in Radical History for the week starting September 8th. Inspiration came from the Slingshot Organizer, some more radical historical info came from the Daily Bleed website, and one audio segment was borrowed from the Radio Roots crew at WBAI in New York.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes. Hey!
This week in Radical History for September 8th, 1883, Sitting Bull, Tatanka Ayotek, whose position was being bypassed by the U.S. authorities because he firmly stood against the robbery of his native people, spoke at the celebration of the driving of the last stake in the Northern Pacific Railroad joining with the transcontinental system. He delivered the speech in his Sioux language, departing from the speech originally prepared with an army translator. Denouncing U.S. government, settlers, and army, the listeners thought he was delivering a speech of welcome and praise. While giving his speech, Sitting Bull would pause for applause, periodically bow, smile, and continue insulting and making asses of the audience and U.S. authorities as a translator delivered the original address. Also on September 8, 1971, the Attica prison riot occurred at the correction facilities in Attica, New York. The riot was based upon prisoners' demand for better living conditions. On September 13th, tear gas was dropped into the yard and New York State Police state troopers opened fire nonstop for 2 minutes into the smoke. Among the weapons used by the troopers were shotguns, which led to the wounding and killing of hostages and inmates who were not resisting. After the prison was retaken, officers for a week beat and mistreated the prisoners in Attica. Nah, never happens in prisons. Besides, we are so much better these days. Here's a very short interview of abuses suffered at the RNC in St. Paul, Ramsey County Jail. Last week, September 2nd, 2008.
So that we could receive food in Ramsey County Jail because we hadn't been provided food. 6 or 7 officers came into my cell, took one officer, punched me in the face right here where you see this bruise, and I fell to the ground, unconscious, and the officer grabbed me by the head, slammed my head on the ground, and I and reawoke me out of to consciousness. And I was bleeding everywhere. They dragged me to another detaining cell. They put a bag over my head that had a gag on it. There was a point where I went without food for about 12 hours. There, I had been coughing up blood and vomiting, and I fainted once because I wasn't receiving any food, and I was like dry heaving and vomiting. And the one officer said that I was being bulimic. I was being called gay by multiple officers, called the princess. When they had this bag around my head while I was being tortured, I was concussed, and later I was in a holding cell in Regents Hospital, and I had thrown up in the bag that was around my head, and I was begging them to take it off of my face, and they would not take the bag off of my head.
Also on September 8, 1974, President Gerald Ford pardons the trickster, beloved comrade Tricky Dick Nixon for any crimes he committed or may have committed while president. starting a long line of pardoning to cover up friends' illegal activities, like Ollie North, for example, and wait for this year's get-out-of-jail-free Christmas gifts from the Bush administration to his co-conspirators. More prisoner news. In 1976, prisoners take over three of the four wings of the Hull Prison in England, including Jack Prescott, in prison for his activities with the anarchist Angry Brigade. Their protests include conditions in a prison workshop where furniture is made for prisons in Iran. On this date 3 years later, 3,000 unarmed demonstrators would be killed by the CIA-sponsored Shah of Iran's death squads. This week in Radical History for September 9th, 1590, Rebecca Limp, a wife of an accountant and mother of six, is burned at the stake as a witch in Germany. She is tortured five times before confessing of her crimes. When she attempted to poison herself to avoid more torture, the lawyer added the charge of attempted suicide to her witchcraft charges. Historians estimated that as many as 9 million European women were killed as witches in the 14th, 15th, and 16th centuries by the good old God-fearing Christians. Also on September 9th, 1869, I despise you. I despise your order, your laws, your force-propped authority. Hang me for it. Louis Ling's last words as he addressed the court during the Haymarket trial. Lang was one of the eight men accused of the bombing of the notorious Haymarket riot. He was found guilty along with four others, sentenced to be hung. Lang, however, had a dynamite cap smuggled into his cell, detonated in his mouth, cheating the state out of its glory. All the anarchists, by the way, hung and killed by the state for the Haymarket riots, were pardoned after their deaths, as the real evidence was shown as involvement by the police in the Haymarket bombing itself. Also on this date in 1917, anarchist Antonio Fornasier is killed by Milwaukee police for heckling a priest. His comrade, Augusta Marlini, wounded on the same occasion, dies 5 days later. 10 men and women are arrested for inciting a riot, later linked to a November 24th bomb explosion that occurred while they were still imprisoned. Despite of the fact that they were in jail at the time, each was found guilty and sentenced between 11 to 25 years of imprisonment. Then, as in today, from last week's RNC in St. Paul, Minnesota, this short outtake.
2007, we had a critical mass bike ride where 19 people were charged with these probable cause riot charges. Only five people, of course, were ever formally charged with anything. A case that went to trial, actually a person with the RNC welcoming committee was acquitted because video evidence showed the officers lying. Another client of mine charged with various gross misdemeanors. Cases were dismissed because the video showed officers were lying.
Two more items for September 9th, 1968. In a press conference, Mayor Daley makes his now famous slip of the tongue. The policeman isn't there to create disorder. The policeman is there to preserve disorder. Lastly, on that date in 2002, that commie-loving Nelson Mandela dares to call the United States a threat to world peace. He is finally taken off the terrorism watch list by the United States government last month on his 90th birthday. Happy birthday, Mandela. Now that you're a 90, you're no longer a terrorist threat to the United States. This week in Radical History for September 10th, 1901, feminist and anarchist Emma Goldman arrested in an alleged link to President McKinley's assassination. In this atmosphere of intense anti-anarchist hysteria, Emma goes into temporary hiding. Then, as in today, here's a short outtake from St. Paul last week.
About a year ago, we started an investigation into the RNC Welcoming Committee. That's a local anarchist group, and we utilized a couple of undercover officers and some informants, and worked hand-in-hand with some FBI sources as well. And it was clear that from the beginning, the Welcoming Committee was a group of anarchists who were interested in shutting down the convention through whatever means would be necessary. The blockades was their primary tactic, but property damage was always on the table because, you know, this particular group believes that property damage is not a crime, that they think it's appropriate considering the oppression of government on society, and we've studied their culture. And
last comment, is Monica afraid right now? Is she sorry she was involved with organizing protests around the Republican National Convention?
Absolutely not. She's going to continue her work because, I mean, the work she is doing is far more important than, you know, the legal consequences, whatever they may be. So, no, she's confident, she's strong, she's experienced. While this is an outrageous violation of people's rights, outrageous imposition on people's lives, it's nevertheless something which is not entirely unexpected, and she knew that going in.
When eight people that I know and have been working with for the last year are being charged with conspiracy and acts of terrorism, silence is not acceptable. There are no terrorists on this stage. There are no terrorists in the Ramsey County Jail. There isn't one of us There isn't eight of us. We are all the welcoming committee, and we stand together today.
Lastly, for September 10th, 1945, Robert Goddard, father of American rocketry, dies. Found at his desk, pen in his hand, his heart seized up like a rusty chainsaw. The last entry in his diary scrawled, quote, "If you were to take the Nagasaki bomb and put it on my rocket, my God, the horror, the horror, the horror, I must go mad, it's the end of civilization," unquote. This week in radical history for September 11th, 1926 in Italy, a group of anarchists nearly kill Mussolini as his car passes. The bomb thrown bounced off the windshield and bullets fly by. 26-year-old anarchist Lucchetti, convicted and sentenced to 30 years, would die in prison. Anarchists helped unite World War I when the Black Hand of Serbia killed Prince Ferdinand. Perhaps if they would have been successful in this attack, they could have helped curtail Hitler in World War II. A lot of history and potentiality in anarchism. The power of freedom and the power of chaos are very potent forces indeed. Also on September 11, 1970, Ford introduces the Pinto despite knowing the design flaw causes the gas tank in the end to explode in collisions. Ford reasons that correcting the flaw would cost the company $137 million and lawsuits to settle any claims would only cost about $49 million. So they decide not to change the design. That's the ethics of capitalism for you. Lastly, for September 11, 1973 in Chile, CIA helps to overthrow democratically elected government, ending nearly 150 years of democratic rule in Chile. The CIA helps murder President Allende, folk singer Victor Jara, American IWW journalist Frank Turguggi, and many, many others. Over 5,000 would die and many others disappear. All this orchestrated and conducted by the war criminals of the CIA and Henry Kissinger. 16 more years of repressive military terror would follow Chile as the CIA helps to install their man, Pinochet.
This is your Radio Roots reporter, Arturo Contreras. On this day, September 12th in 1977, South African anti-apartheid activist Steve Bantu Biko died just after being transferred to a prison in Pretoria. He'd been arrested almost a month before, and while in police custody, he suffered major head injuries and was chained to a window grill for a full day. Before his arrest, Biko had helped establish the South African Students Organization, which later evolved into the Black Conscientious Movement. Due to Biko's radical beliefs and strong influence in the community, the apartheid government of South Africa put a ban on him in 1972, restricting him to central areas, forbidding him to make public speeches, and making it illegal to quote anything that he said. Talk about censorship. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away. Say it, say it, say it.
It all began when they took me from my home and put me on death row. A crime for which I'm totally innocent, you know.
On September 12, 2003, the man in black, songster Johnny Cash, cashes off for the last time. On September 12th, it is also political prisoner Leonard Peltier's birthday. Peltier is still in prison on trumped-up charges, enemy of the state. Kind of like these people, then and now. Here are short clips from last week in St. Paul.
On Saturday, police raided a home where members of Eyewitness Video Collective were staying. Members of the group were detained for over 2 hours. We talked about that on Monday. Well, yesterday, police armed with batons and battering ram entered a St. Paul office building that housed the offices of Eyewitness Video. Police claimed they were investigating reports of anarchists holding hostages in the building. Members of Eyewitness Video accused the police of blatant harassment and of using the bogus hostage claim to seek entry to their office.
My neighborhood hardware store owner, Republican family, his son was out riding a bicycle, got caught up in a mass sweep, and just got out yesterday after being held for almost a day and a half. So not just journalists are being targeted and caught up, also caught up in sweeps, just citizens out in the streets are getting swept up, and there's no effort or mechanism on the part of the police to distinguish between who do they have evidence against to arrest and try to prosecute, which we can deal with in the court system, or do they just sweep people up and keep them in custody and let it all sort out afterward?
Okay, a couple items for this week in radical history. For September 13th, 1847, Mexico. The Irish of the Battalion of San Patrico fought next to the Mexicans against the U.S. invaders are executed. Even to this day, an Irish person in Mexico will be told countless number of times about the famous Irish martyrs who defected from the U.S. Army and gave their lives trying to save Mexico from U.S. aggression. The St. Patrick Irish Battalion, San Patrico Battalion, arrived with the invaders but fought alongside the invaded. These Irishmen, seeing and recognizing that the fight of conquest was not what they signed up for, and made their own fate. Many died defending the last monastery holdout without ammunition. These U.S. deserters, their faces burned by the U.S. military branding irons, swinging to and fro from the gallows. Also on September 13, 1858, students at Oberlin College bravely free fugitive slaves from slave catchers. Lastly, in 1971, Dick Nixon's paranoia reaches a fevered pitch when it comes to Jewish backers of his Democratic rival. The White House tapes include several shocking anti-Semitic statements, reveals plans to target key Jewish political contributors with IRS audits. Today, Dick tells his chief of staff, Haldeman, "Now here's the point, Bob. Sorry, this is better. Now here's the point, Bob. Please give me the names of the Jews, you know, the big Jews contributors to the Democrats. Could you please investigate some of these cocksuckers?" That's your president's for you.
Either good or ungood, and the mercy seat is waiting, and I think my head is burning, and in a way I'm yearning to be done with all this weighing of the truth. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and anyway I told the truth, and I'm not afraid to die.
This has been This Week in Radical History, produced out of the Glee Glee Studios. Special thanks to the Radio Roots crew at WBAI, whose audio segment I used. Special thanks to all those great interviews during the RNC used, including great work by Amy Goodman's Democracy Now! Crew, and all the alternative media segments I use in this week's show. Lastly, thanks to the Slingshot Organizer and the People's Calendar at the Daily Bleed website for both inspiration and information on radical movements. Got to run. So as always, and until next week's This Week in Radical History, I am forever yours in a struggle, Mike Cannon. I leave you now with Johnny's Mercy Seat song on the anniversary of him leaving prison for the last time.
Challenge or resist. In heaven his throne is made of gold. The ark of his testament is stowed. A throne from which I am told all history does unfold. It's made of wood and wire, and my body is on fire. And God is never far away. Into the mercy seat I climb. My head is shaved, my head is wired. And like a moth that tries to enter the bright eye, I go shuffling out of life just to hide in death a while. And anyway, I never lie. And the mercy seat is waiting, and I think my head is burning, and in a way I'm yearning to be done with all this weighing of the truth. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and anyway I told the truth, and I'm not afraid to die. And the mercy seat is burning, and I think my head is glowing, and in a way I'm hoping to be done with all this twisting of the truth. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and anyway there was no proof, and I'm not afraid to die. And the mercy seat is glowing, and I think my head is smoking, and in a way I'm hoping to be done with all these looks of disbelief. A life for a life and a truth for a truth, and I've got nothing left to lose, and I'm not afraid to die. And the mercy seat is smoking, and I think my head is melting, and in a way that's helping to be done with all this twisting of the truth. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and anyway I told the truth, but I'm afraid I told a lie.
Sleep now.